Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. There is a guy. His mom came one Sunday morning into his room and said, "Honey, get up. It's time for church." And he said, "Oh, Mom, do I have to go?" She said, "Yes, you have to go." He said, "Mom, but it's long and nobody likes me and nobody talks to me and they all make fun of me when I'm there. Do I have to go?" She said, "Honey, you're the pastor. You have to go." Fortunately, that does not happen here. But that does bring up an interesting point that happens a lot in Christianity. People go to church and they don't even know why they are there. Why are you here? Let me ask you, why are you here? Why are you in church? The reason why I ask, because too often, and you'll probably hear people say this, if you haven't heard it yet, people will say, "I go to church because it's my religious duty. I go to church because I'm obligated to go to church. I go to church because God says I should go to church and I want to be pleasing to God and I want to get to heaven, so I better show up in church." If that's why a person goes to church, they may as well just stay home. Because none of that is why you go to church. None of that will benefit you. You go to church so you can get to know God. That's why you go to church. It says in Hebrews 10:24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." When it's talking about good works, it doesn't mean like we think of good works. It's actually talking about a response in faith. So let's provoke one another unto love and a response in faith. Did you know you have to be taught how to love people? We don't often realize that, but you have to be taught how to love people. We think love is an emotion and it's just something that happens. That's not love. That's affection. It can also just be chemicals in your body, which is true with most young people. They think it's love when it's just chemicals. But it can also be things like affection, like you love your dog, right? That's affection. But you have to be taught how to love people. And that's one of the things that happens here. You learn how to love people. Because love is extremely important in the kingdom of God, since God is love. And then it also tells us to provoke people or teach people or encourage people unto a life of faith, faith responses. It's really important that we learn how to live in faith. Because without faith, we can't respond to God. Without faith, we don't have a relationship with Him. We go so that we can get to know Him, and we get to know Him through His Word by faith. Now, God is not somebody who's like a vapor. God is a real being. He's a real person, although He's not a human being. He's much greater than a human being. But He's a real person. You're going to see Him one day. And because you're going to see Him one day, it's really important to get to know Him. A lot depends on how well you know God. Both here on earth, you go through your life, and you're going to face things where knowing God is really going to help you tremendously. It'll be the only reason why you can get through certain things, because you know Him. On the other hand, also in heaven, knowing God is going to be a tremendous reward for you in heaven. So knowing God, getting to know Him is vital in our lives. And then it says there in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, getting together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, that is to say, encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The day He's talking about is the day of Christ's return. Nowadays, we can see it approaching. And we can see it very clearly because the things that have to happen for Christ to return are starting now. And I'm not going to get into that. That's a message for a whole nother day. Actually, it's a series of messages. What I am going to tell you is the things that are necessary to happen for him to return are happening. And so we know it's very close. And the Bible tells us when you see that it's very close, go to church all that much more. Take advantage of those opportunities all that much more. It's becoming more and more important to be there. In John 12, in verse 21, there were some Greek guys who came to one of Jesus' disciples. His name was Philip. And they said to him, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That's it in a nutshell. "Sir, we would see Jesus." These guys didn't know who Jesus was. They heard of him, but they didn't know him. They never met him. So they went to the man of God, one of Jesus' disciples, and they said to him, "We want you to introduce us to Jesus." That's the first thing about church, is when you go to church, you do get to know him. In a manner of speaking, you could say you're introduced to him in church. Because the pastor, who is a godly pastor, who teaches the Bible actually as the Bible is, and unfortunately not every pastor does that, but a lot of pastors do. A lot of pastors are wonderful pastors. And they teach the Bible as it is. And through them, we get to meet Jesus. We get to know him. Imagine if I said to you, "Hey, next week Jesus is going to be at whatever place. And you can get to meet him there." Well, how many people would go for that? Did you know that every time you're in church, Jesus is there also? He is. Right now, in this room, Jesus is here. And he's watching and he's listening. And he's looking at each person and he's examining the thoughts and the heart and the attitude of everybody in this room, to see whether they're responding or whether they're drifting off or what have you. Because when they respond, he rewards them for that. They said, "We would see Jesus." In church, we have the same attitude. We would see Jesus. If you're not meeting Jesus in a church, if you're not getting to know him in a church, you're not really going to have a place to get to know him. Because that's where he meets you. That's where he said that you could get to know him. I'm not saying that he won't meet you outside of church. He lives in you. But church is something special to him. Because it's all the people who are believers and all the people who love him and all the people who he calls his own, they gather together for his sake. And that makes it really special to him. The Word of God says in Revelation 2:7, "He that has an ear," in other words, he that is willing, "let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Holy Spirit, in Revelation 2:1, speaks to the pastor of the church. If the pastor knows how to hear from God, and there's a lot that do, and unfortunately there's also some that don't, you want the ones that do. If the pastor knows how to hear from God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to the pastor as he's speaking to the people. The pastor is not the source of the message. The Holy Spirit is. And even the pastors study and they work hard and they prepare for the messages, they're listening to the Holy Spirit as they are preparing, and then they also listen to the Holy Spirit as they are talking to you. And so the Holy Spirit gives a pastor the message, and then as the pastor is preaching, the Holy Spirit gives the pastor the words to say. He speaks to the churches. He speaks to the people in churches in a very unique way. One of the things when I was a younger Christian, but I still have this now sometimes, is I was amazed at when I had a question or I had a problem or something going on in my life and I just didn't know the answer. In church, the pastor would give me the answer. And I was shocked, like, how does he know that? Well, he didn't know that. But the Holy Spirit knew that. I never had to go for counseling, and there's nothing wrong with counseling. Sometimes it's important. But I never had to go to counseling because whatever question I had, the Holy Spirit would answer in church. My pastor would say it. I didn't even have to ask him. He would just tell me. Why? Because he knew how to hear from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was talking to the people in the church, and I was one of those people. And I would get countless answers to countless questions when I was there listening to the message in church. The Holy Spirit talks to us. He loves to talk to us. And His favorite place to do it is in church. It's amazing how much you receive from Him in church. In Hebrews 11:6, now this is a big one. Without faith, it's not possible to please God. I don't know about you, but I want God to be happy with me. Because if God's not happy with me, that's not good. So I want God to be happy with me. It's not because I'm a good boy or anything like that. It's because there are certain things that God likes and certain things that God doesn't like. The thing He likes the most is faith, when we simply trust Him. So He says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If I don't trust God, there's not much about me that He's going to like. He's going to love me, don't get me wrong, but there's a difference between like and love. Without faith, there's not much about me God's going to like, although He's still going to love me. But with faith, He loves it. I mean, that just makes His day when a person has faith. He loves it when people have faith toward Him. Now, in Romans 10:17, there's a way that faith comes. Faith doesn't just happen. Faith comes by hearing. So we listen to the Word of God. That's what it says there. Hearing comes by the Word of God. We listen to the Word of God. And when it says hearing, it literally does mean hearing. So we hear the Word of God preached, and that builds our faith. The way that it does that is because it gives us the thoughts of God. And when we have the thoughts of God, we're able to think with God's thoughts, and that's the outward expression of faith. All of a sudden, we're able to make decisions according to God's thought. That's faith in action. So I trust the Word as I hear it, and it becomes the foundation of my thinking. Now, that's a really good thing because God knows all things. Sometimes it amazes me how people have a hard time making the simplest decisions, like life decisions. And they say, well, these are huge decisions. Yeah, they're huge, but they're not complicated. They only become complicated when I don't have the Word of God to think with. When I have the Word of God to think with, they're not so complicated. And so, faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. The Word of God gives me God's thoughts. In Romans 10:14, you cannot hear if there is no preacher. So, in order for me to hear the Word of God, I need a preacher. Where am I going to find a preacher? I'm going to find him in church. So, in church is the place where my faith is built. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul said that he's a master builder of people's faith. And that's what pastors do. Pastors build faith. The word master builder is the same word as architect. So what he's saying is, I design your faith and I build it. That's the pastor's job. The pastor essentially designs your faith. It's not that he's making it up, but he's giving you all of the design for your faith that's necessary to build your faith in the Word of God. He does that by teaching you all of the Word of God. Once in a while, you'll find somebody who just teaches parts of the Word of God. And those parts are fine, but it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. It's like building a house but never putting up walls. well, that's not really a useful house. You may have the 2x4s, the skeleton, but without the walls, you're still going to get rained on. So a master builder or a proper architect of faith gives you the entire Bible. Not all at once. We couldn't handle it all at once. But piece by piece, every time you hear him, he's giving you something out of the Bible until eventually he gives you the whole Word of God. And that's like building a complete house for you. It's tremendously important in our lives. Number one, it gives us a place to be protected. We don't realize it, but faith is a tremendous protection. Right? I come to God because I believe Him and He gives me wisdom for the difficult situations in my life. And I'm protected by Him because I have the faith to come to Him. I have the faith to believe His promises. He gives me wisdom about things because otherwise I won't really know what's going on, but the Word of God tells me what these things are all about. And I learn what's going on. The more I get the Word of God, the more I realize what's going on. It's called discernment. I recognize how I should live my life in such a way that it'll benefit me and other people the most. One thing that I don't think anyone ever wants is to waste their life. But you know, a lot of people do waste their life. It amounts to nothing. They can have all the money in the world. They can be tremendously successful as far as that goes, but still be empty people. Still be hurting people. Still be people with no purpose. I know a famous actor one time, I saw an interview with him, and his comments about life and success were really interesting. He said, all my life I worked really hard to get to the top. And he was a famous, very, very successful actor. He had all kinds of money. Everything he could possibly want, he had it because he was so successful. He said, I worked so hard to get to the top. I struggled. I worked, put in all the time to get to the top. And when I got to the top, I looked around and I found there's nothing there. And he was so disappointed by his own success because the success didn't fulfill him. The Word of God is where we get our fulfillment. The Word of God is where we get our purpose. The Word of God is where we learn God's plan for our lives. The Word of God is what gives us a value, where we learn that we have value, where we learn that we are important to God. Even if we're important to nobody else, we are important to the one person that actually matters, and that's God. So we have tremendous importance, and we can experience these things because of the Word of God. On a psychological level, it's incredibly important. A Christian who knows the Word of God, who has God's thoughts and His thoughts, is the healthiest person on earth as far as psychology goes. There's nothing wrong with that person's thinking at all because they have the Word of God. I mean, if I have the mind of Christ, what better mind can I have? You want to know how to deal with situations? You find it in the Word of God. Difficult teachers and difficult people, you find it in the Word of God. It's all in there. It gives us all the answers for every situation. And we learn about it in church. Then it continues in verse 12 of the same chapter, because Paul said he gives you the Word of God as a foundation. And he builds your faith as a foundation. And then he says, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now we're building on that foundation. The pastor gives me the foundation of the Word of God. And I build on it. Gold speaks of faith response. Silver speaks of things that are of redemption. Things like forgiveness. Mercy. Those kinds of things are silver. Precious stones are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, and the different manifestations of love. And so the Word of God, number one, teaches me how to have faith response, teaches me about forgiveness, how I am forgiven, and how to forgive other people, teaches me about God's mercy toward me and toward other people, and how I can apply it toward myself and toward other people. And then it also teaches me not only about God's love for me, which it teaches me first, it's incredibly important, but also how do I love people? Because those things are very valuable to God. He gives us eternal rewards for those things. Or it says I can have wood, hay, and stubble. Wood is things that are of the old sin nature. I give in to temptation. Stuff like that. That's wood. Hay is things of the emotions. Emotions that do not come from the Word of God. And stubble is the things that I quit. I started, but I couldn't continue. I didn't have it in me to continue. Those things, the Word of God says, get burnt up. In verse 13 there it says, each one's work will become clearer, for the day will declare it. And that's, of course, the day that we stand at the Bema seat. That's what he's talking about, day there. It's a capital D. It's not just any day. Because it will be revealed by fire. Now, the fire we go through is in our lives. It's not like there's fire going on in heaven. And that's talking about the testings that we go through, the difficulty. Difficulty will reveal what I've taken in from the Word of God. Difficult circumstances, difficult people, difficulties with things like health. All different forms of difficulties will come our way because we're human beings. When they come our way, I can have a very positive experience in them or a very negative experience in them. The positive experience in them will be caused by the Word of God in my thinking that you receive in church. The negative experience will come as a result of a lack of the Word of God. Those things where I lack the Word of God, I'm going to suffer loss for eternity. But those things that I have the Word of God, those are going to be eternal rewards. Rewards that will never be taken away from me. Rewards that are extremely valuable. Imagine, for example, and this isn't really even touching the value of these rewards in heaven, but imagine, for example, if somebody gave you a barn full of gold. You'd be like, oh my God, I'm really rich. Well, gold on earth and gold in heaven are two different things. Gold on earth and gold in heaven are two different things. Gold on earth is the stuff you get out of the ground. In heaven, that stuff is pavement. That's essentially God's concrete. So you can imagine how much more valuable God's reward of gold is. It's really difficult to even fathom, to describe the value of these things in heaven. But I'll tell you one thing, you're going to want them. And those people who attend church regularly, who are faithful to be there whenever they're able to be there, and when I mean able to be there, I don't mean like, well, you know, I got something better to do so I can't be there. No, I mean, I don't care what else I got going, unless I'm sick or something like that, I'm going to be there. Now, I'm not saying it's sin not to be there every time. What I'm saying is that when all you can do it, you do it. Because you're getting so much that you can't even see right now out of it. It's building you in ways you don't realize, but you will realize when you look back on it. It's giving you riches that will last for eternity. It's building stuff in you where you're going to get to know God very closely, and that's going to make all the difference in your life. Unbelievable value is found in church when it's a good church. Churches are all about the Word of God. If the church is not about the Word of God, it's not your church. Churches are made to be all about the Word of God. And finally, in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is God-breathed. The Bible was given by God. Simple as that. The Bible was given by God. God spoke to people who wrote it down. is the same as somebody giving dictation to the secretary. The boss says it, the secretary writes it down. That's how it worked with the Word of God. God said it, they wrote it down. And He gave it for us. And He gave it so that we could be taught in doctrine, so we could be corrected when we make a mistake. Doctrine, by the way, is the Word of God about specifics. Like, what does the Word of God have to say about love? What does the Word of God have to say about anything? Health. What does the Word of God have to say about any topic you can think of? That's called doctrine. So it's there to teach us. It's there to correct us. It's there to encourage us. And it's there to equip us. Because you do need to be equipped. You go to school for 12 years so you can be equipped to go to more school and college, right? The Word of God is there to equip you for life, and it's also there to equip you for eternity. It's not something you want to neglect. The Word of God says that Jesus magnifies His Word above His own name, above who He is and what He's about. His Word is even more important to Him than that. The value of it cannot be measured. It is immensely valuable and immensely important. And it is the place where you get to meet Him. Coming here, you meet Him. In church, you learn about Him. And when you learn about Him, you get to know Him on a personal level. Because He does live in you. He is a real person. You have a real relationship with Him. And that means that there's a give and take between you and God. But you learn how to do that. You learn how to live in it in church. That's where you're taught how that works. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.